you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 11th, 2016. Thank you, Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel, for taking another call. One of these days, we got to get you back to the studio so you can see the transformational work that's happening in here.
Yeah, well, we see what's going on with the studio and what it looks like. You'll be in your new digs. That'll be great.
Yeah, we are excited. Karen made her first appearance there last night. She came for a visit, actually, to drop off some work, because now our bookkeeper, who has for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, gone out to the Fisher Tower. I got her computer and everything set up at the center last night. So Karen delivered some of her work, and she'll be meeting up with me later today. But the center is truly coming together. We got the countertops all in and just about every facet done, other than the studio window, which will be movable so it can be wide open or closed. And the window opening is like 4 feet by 4 feet. It's pretty humongous. It's a large window, but it'll be like on rollers so it can be moved to the right and to the left and closed. And then just the microphones and the studio setup is the last element, and that'll happen over the next couple weeks. So we'll see. You had mentioned that. It'll be right in close to that week or the next week that we'll probably have our first broadcast there. But thank you, God, for the technology that I can call you up at home, because of our varied schedules and going different directions today, that we can talk about some of the things the Lord's doing in our lives. And appreciate you taking the call and being in this fifth year of serving the Great News Radio listeners through the Wednesday and Friday editions of Mark and Friends. Let me share a couple updates. Some of our listeners have been praying up our conversational English class. We had another meeting yesterday, and we have some volunteers all ready to go and trained up. And so on Monday, we'll launch our first English conversation class. I think now we already have 8 or 10 students that are planning on attending. It's going to be just a one-hour class, and our theme over the next 10 sessions will be the holidays. So holiday-related words, holiday terms, you know, the things that people say or express during the holidays. And then one of the sessions will be on what is the meaning behind Thanksgiving, what is the meaning behind Christmas, which will be kind of an exciting topic for us to share as believers in Jesus, along with just some helpful tips and insights into the holidays. So that begins on Monday morning. So for our listeners that have a heart for internationals or a heart for just this outreach to talk with internationals, please be praying up the productive time that we'll have from 10:30 to 11:30 on Monday. And our classes are going to be held Monday and Thursdays, basically for like the next 5 or 6 weeks. We figured out 10 sessions ending on Christmas week. I think the 19th will be our last Monday, and then we'll reevaluate and see what the Lord would lead with this new outreach to internationals. But we're excited about that, so please, listener, be praying that up. And then next Thursday, Joey Kroll's coming to town, and we'll have the book signing at the Great News Radio Center over there at Lincoln Square. It's from 5:30 to 7-ish. You've been hearing me say 5:30 to 7:30, but we're multitasking that night, and we have our Israel night for our, I think, 55 pilgrims that'll be going to the Holy Land. Now, I know some are out of state, so we won't have all 55 with us, but a number of those that are signed up to go to the Holy Land in February and March of next year will be coming together around 7:15 for our Israel orientation night. So we're excited to have Joey in town. So if you would like to visit with Joey and purchase copies of his new book, then come to the Great News Radio Center Thursday night around 5:30 to about 7 p.m. His book is titled Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And if you missed our interview earlier last week on Monday and Tuesday, he talked about the book and some of his testimony. And so come on out, see him. Ken and Jan will be providing all sorts of desserts, and so it'll be a great night to visit with Joey and also see the progress that's being made at the Great News Radio Center. But ideally, if you can register online at greatnewsradio.org, it'll take you no more than 2 minutes to just fill in the number of people you might be coming with and your email address. And if you don't have access to the internet, just call Karen and she'll put you in, so we all have an idea of how many desserts to have available. Call her at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. So have you caught up on your sleep? I don't know if you're like me, Jason, but with the election night, I think we both were up like 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, and then the next day it was like, oh, what's going on? And then
what it was like.
I don't think I've ever seen Holly watch so much TV the last few days. She's hearing all the commentators and all the follow-up and all the people that are trying to figure out what went wrong or how did they misread the polls. And, you know, you and I have just talked about it. It's a tumultuous time. I mean, there's people protesting and people rejoicing, people complaining and upset, people thinking it's the best thing in the world. And I like how one of the commentators said, hey, let's give them a chance. And, you know, we're called in the scriptures to pray for those in authority over us. And let's have this be a time of healing. In fact, on Wednesday, I'd kind of dedicated the program with some music just to say, hey, everyone, you know, let's be that healing balm of Jesus, that fragrance of Christ. Let's continue to say God's in control and things are going to work out. And a president, he has a lot of influence, yes. But it's not as much as everyone thinks, because you still have a Congress and a Senate and you have a lot of other, you know, state rights and other things going on. And so I think we might end up being rather surprised. And, you know, I like the vice president very much. He seems to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And we just pray that he'll have an influence on the president-elect in the White House, and that there'll be other Christians coming alongside Donald Trump. And you know, who knows how God will use him as he's used other presidents throughout the years?
Yeah, well, I would totally be with you on that. I mean, I think that it's even bigger than that, though. I think that as Christians, at least this is my impression. And so and maybe, you know, I have to give that, what is that kind of thing at the beginning where I'm going to say, you know, that...
Disclaimer?
Yeah, you know, Great News Radio is not responsible for the views of Pastor Jason Schiff.
Yeah, that's, you know, just, and we're not siding. We're not telling you who to vote for. We're not taking political stance here. This is the morning program. We've been free of that for many years.
Yeah, but I think that as Christians, we have to be really careful, because, I mean, the Bible does tell us to do our civic duty and to do our civil duty, that God put rulers and authorities in position. I mean, Peter talks about that. Romans 13 talks about that. But it also tells us in Scripture that we render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but we give to God what belongs to God. Mm-hmm. And we can't as Christians lose our primary calling. We serve a greater king. Now we definitely live beneath an earthly king that God put in authority, but we ultimately answer to a greater king. And we have to remember that, because I think in this season, many, many Christians, and, you know, everybody has to kind of examine their own heart on this, but many Christians have become awfully political. And in some ways, in ways I think that are not healthy. You know, I was reading yesterday in Matthew chapter 5 and beginning of verse 21, it says, "You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And if you are offering a gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer the gift to God." And so Jesus, and this is red letter wording. So this is Jesus saying that, yeah, you've heard it said that if you murder somebody, you're gonna get punished. But I'm telling you that if you have something against your brother, and if you insult your brother, you're liable for judgment also. And I've heard an awful lot of not loving your brother. I've heard an awful lot of talk that doesn't sound like we're loving our brother. You know, this last week I was really blessed. I meet with a couple of different guys at different times, and we read scripture together. And I was reading with a guy, and we were reading the book of Amos, which is just, if you want to feel like you're running through mud, you read the book of Amos. Hmm. But Amos is such an important book, because the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, was sent by God because Amos was fed up. I mean, most of the prophets, when you read their writing, it's interspersed with redemption and restoration in their prophecies, restoration and redemption for Israel and for Judah. But Amos only gives you the last five verses of the entire book is any kind of redemption or any kind of restoration. The rest of the book is judgment against God's people for the ways that they have not followed God's primary commands. And most of it is centered around their hearts. And it's telling, the book of Amos is telling God's people, you are going to be held accountable for the ill treatment of others. You're going to be held accountable for the things that you do. And I love in the fifth chapter, and I don't love it. I love it in a way, I love it in a way that it hurts me when I read it. It's convicting when I read it. It's hard to read because I know that so easily you, I, any of us, can get so wrapped up in something that we can become this kind of person. But God says in the 14th verse of the 5th chapter, he gives his command to his people, seek good and not evil that you may live. So the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And so that's God saying, this is the way it needs to go. And now, judgment. Now we get to hear, in fact, that the heading for the 18th verse says, let justice roll down. Hmm. And I mean, if you want a title that just says, like, oh, no, I think we're in trouble. Hmm. And it begins with this kind of woe. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Woe to you that you would have the day of the Lord. Is it darkness and not light? As if a man, listen to this, as if a man had not fled from a lion and a bear met him and went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and the serpent bit him?
Yeah.
The Bible is essentially saying, yeah, you thought you got away from the lion, but then you met the bear, and you thought you got away from the bear, but the serpent bit you, didn't
he? Yeah.
Which is saying you can't escape Lord's judgment. And then, you know, if that doesn't seem bad enough where you're thinking like, okay, I can't escape being held accountable for the things that I do and the ways that I treat people and the condition of my heart, then God, like, just hits full barrel the religious people in verse 21 where God says, I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animal, I will not look upon them. And then listen to this. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melodies of your harps, I will not listen.
Hmm.
And this is God saying, it's your heart. It's not the offering. It's your heart. You come before the altar to give me all these gifts and tell me how much you love me and tell me what a great follower you are of me, but you don't love your brother. And I can see into your heart. You know, sometimes I think when we do the things we do as Christians, sometimes we're like, you know, well, there's who I am and then there's how I really feel. And I think in this season, we've really got to kind of check ourselves, because I think that there is this kind of who I am. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical. But then in my heart, I really am like, you know what? I don't like these people, and I don't like these people, and I hope this happens. And we talked about this on the program before. I mean, that we need to be praying for all the candidates. We need to be praying for all the people, regardless if I agree with their policies. Mm-hmm. Because I agree ultimately as a Christian with God's policy, and that is that whoever does not know him is going to perish. And so I want people to know who he is. And I want to be careful. I want everybody to understand I love America and I'm a patriot and God bless America, but I serve a greater king. And right now we so desperately need that king's message. You know, before there was America, there was the church. And after America is gone, there will still be the church. And the only certain thing in the whole equation is the church. And we're called to be the church who loves sacrificially, who gives generously, who is kind in the face of evil, who prays for their enemies. And we need to come together. You know, and I understand and I love that we have a president-elect who said, you know, I want to unite the people. But, you know, we are already as Christians united in the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us so often not to break that unity. In fact, it tells us to be vigilant of the purity of the unity of the body. And so we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to love our brothers and sisters. And we do need to understand that there are people who are hurting right now. There are people who, you know, this election has been like a meat grinder.
Yeah.
I mean, and there has been some racially motivated kind of things that have been said. There have been things that have been said about people from other countries. There has been a lot of rhetoric on both sides that has kind of been thrown around. You know, I'm an optimist, Mark. I'm not a pessimist. I look at this right now. Somebody was telling me the other day, and they're like, oh, it's so horrible. I go, what are we going to do? And I go, it's not horrible. It just looks horrible. But you know what? For the people of Christ, when things look the worst, they're actually at their best. And we have a great opportunity right now while the world is hurting, while things seem a little dark, that we can shine our light brightly and we can love people. And we can make our love evident, that we can, I mean, it's not hard. I mean, we know that blacks and Latinos are hurting, and they're not sure what this means. We know that, you know, Muslims are hurting, and they're not sure what this means for them. And we have a great opportunity to go up to those folks and say, you know what, we're going to love you. You know, we love you. Yeah. You know, so I just want to make sure that as the body of Christ, we keep on our true north. Because I know even from my own heart, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the politics. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the rhetoric. And it's really easy at this point, too, if you're on the side, you know, if you voted for Donald Trump and you're on that side, it's really easy to be a little kind of, you know, like, we won. We got you. Told you so. And I think we have to be real careful of that.
And it's also kind of interesting, we talked quickly about this off air, but how the very people that say, oh, these remarks that Donald Trump made and this are so hateful and so forth, and yet these people marching in the street protesting that are being profane and burning the American flag, and we're not going to do this, and, you know, they're fighting and terrorizing and beating up people. And I'm like, gosh, these are the very people that were saying, he's so mean and so bad and so racist. And it's like, God, I mean, what a turnaround. And we really kind of need to, as Christians, focus on loving and sharing the good news message of Jesus. And I don't know, it was just kind of like, gosh, the very people that were saying how bad he is are really showing themselves to be as bad.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, I can just be honest. When I don't know what to do, you know, when I'm kind of a little confused, I don't really make good choices.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have happening. We have some people who are really not sure what to do. They're not sure what the day. I mean, because I didn't get to talk to somebody, but I heard somebody who is like, they were scared if they should send their kids to school the day after. You know, they didn't know what to do. And I thought, brothers and sisters, we are not the people who live by fear. In fact, we're the people who look in the face of fear and we say, oh, you have no sting. You have no, you can't do anything to me. I do not fear because of Christ. I have hope, and a hope that abounds, a hope that doesn't disappoint, because God has poured his love out in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I need to lean into him even more now, and then I need to reflect him more than ever, because there are hurting people who are fearful, who this is a great opportunity. You know, when somebody says, I'm so scared, well, let me tell you about a hope that transcends your fear.
Yeah.
And it does not disappoint. I mean, what a great moment this is for the church. This is how I know it's a great moment for the church, because all the newscasters are talking about how bad the evangelicals are. The evangelicals are the ones who did this. The evangelical vote is the one who led every. When I hear that, I go, oh, we're the enemy. Excellent. I know we're doing something right.
Yeah.
So here we go. I mean, and that's what I really want to say. I mean, friends, as you're listening to this program, I just want you to be challenged to get out there and begin to just love people and realize that they're hurting. Realize that 50% of this country today feels like they lost. And, you know, and I just think about when my wife and I, we have a disagreement, and one of us all, you know, inevitably one person or one spouse feels like they lose. And I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And we all know what that feels like. And so, you know what? I mean, I don't think that in this moment, the best thing to do would be to go up and go like, we got you. I think it would be good to go up and wrap your arm around them and say, you know what, I love you. Mm-hmm. We may not agree, but I love you. And by the way, you look a bit scared. Let me tell you about the fear-killing message of the gospel. And let me walk with you. And it feels like you're in darkness, but let me walk with you because I got this light that kills darkness. The darkness tried to overcome it, but it could not. His name's Jesus.
Yeah.
And listen, that's an election that we always win on, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
Classic. Hey, you mentioned earlier about you being a patriot, and I know you are, and you love our country. And I'm looking at the calendar, and it's Veterans Day, and you are a veteran. And how about closing out the program, praying up our veterans and those veteran families and those in the support network that assist in various ways? And I appreciate your service and my brother Stu's service and, you know, the many people that allow us to flourish in the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States.
Yeah, I got a kick out of it. I think it was the other day was the Marine Corps' birthday. And your brother, I thought like he was going to hold like a huge party or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just so excited that it was a Marine Corps' birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father, we thank you that you call us to a sacrificial kind of life, that our Savior, our example, sacrificed and gave all that we might know a life that transcends this death, a life with you in eternity. And Father, we thank you that while we have like unlimited, we have this like eternal freedom in Jesus Christ, that there are men and there are women who sacrifice themselves daily in the service of our country, in the service to fight for the freedoms that we have here. And Father, there are some people who have given, not some, but they have given everything. They have come to see you and been delivered into that throne room because of their sacrifice. And Father, their families have been deeply impacted and affected. Father, the people that they serve with has been impacted and affected. And Father, we have been impacted and affected because they have preserved freedom. And so, Father, we lift them up to you. We lay them before you. We thank you for them because sacrifice is not something that is naturally in our hearts. We know that it comes from you. We know it's a visible picture when we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters of what Jesus did for us in an even greater way. And so, Father, we thank you for all of our veterans, past, present, and those in the future who will go after us and fight for that freedom. All those who will stand up and say, evil does not get this day until Jesus comes. And we thank you. We bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, veterans. Thank you, listener, for tuning in for today's edition of Mark and Friends. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.